Okay, this week we are learning Daf Yud Gimel, Maseches Sukkah, Daf Yud Gimel. We left off last time in Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. If you recall, the last thing we did was we were discussing the process of flax and how it goes from raw flax into a beged, how it's first soaked and then beaten or crushed and then combed. And we pointed out that Rabbi Yochanan holds that unprocessed flax is kosher. Processed flax is possible in terms of being able to use it for schach, and if it's partially processed flax, it's a suffix. And then we had a suffix, what exactly partially processed means. We weren't sure if flax that is soaked but not beaten, meaning stage one was done, but not stage two, whether that's considered totally unprocessed or that's considered partially processed. If it was soaked and beaten, that's for sure partially processed. If it's soaked, beaten, then combed, that's for sure totally processed. If it's neither soaked nor beaten nor combed, that's for sure totally unprocessed. Right? Good. That's how we left off last time. So we are holding three lines from the bottom. Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Away we go. Amar Rav Yehuda. Baruch Hashem, the Knicks lost several games this week, so there's less interest tonight. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda. I didn't mean to remind you. Amar Rav Yehuda, Hani Shushi v'Shavtzari v'Sachim Bu. Shushi and Shavtzari, you can use a schach. Says Rashi, what are Shushi and Shavtzari? Rashi writes, Shushi v'Shavtzari, Mine Yerakos, they are types of vegetables. Rabbi Makir Pirish Shavtzari Arva Shekorn Palkira Vushalav Rechavin Vegadol Biarim, some type of greenery that has wide leaves, grows in the forest. So anyway, these types of leaves, these types of greenery, you can use for schach. Abai Yamar B'shushi Mesachkin B'Shavtzari Lo Mesachkin. He says, Abai says no, only one of them you can use for schach. Shushi you can use for schach. Shavtzari though you should not use for schach. So you cannot use just whatever you want for schach. So says Gemara, my time, why? What's the problem? After all, it grows from the ground, and what are the requirements that you have for schach? Let it be gidulei karka, and that it's not mekabel tuma. And guess what? Shushi and Shavtzari are both gidulei karka, and they're also both not mekabel tuma. So why is it that you can't use them for schach, or that you can't use at least one of them for schach? Says the Gemara, kivan desari rechayu shavik luhu v'nafik, that since it has a foul odor, sari rechayu, Rashi says mavish recham, it has a foul odor, it smells bad, so we're afraid the person is going to get up from a sukkah and leave, and we don't want you to have a sukkah that you're going to feel like you're being chased out of, that you have to leave because you can't stand the smell. So in order to encourage a person to actually stay in a sukkah, we don't let you use this kind of odorous schach. Amrav Chanan Barava, Hani Hizmi Vihigi Mesachin Behu. Hizmi and Higi, you can use for schach. So Abayi Amar Behizmi Mesachin Behigi Lo Mesachin. Lo Mesachinan. Abayi says no, you can use Hizmi, but you can't use Higi. My Taima. Again, Hizmi and Higi are types of growths from the ground. They are gidulei karka, right, as growths from the ground are gidulei karka, and they are not mekabel tuma. So what would be the problem with using hizmi and higi? My taima? ? Answers the Gemara, four lines from the top, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Kivan did natri trafayu shavik levanafik. Since it sheds its leaves, we're afraid you're going to leave the sukkah, because you're going to be sitting in the sukkah, trying to eat your soup, and leaves are going to keep falling into your soup, on your head, they're going to keep falling all over the place, it's going to get very annoying, and it's going to make you want to get up and walk right out of your sukkah. So in order to avoid that sort of problem, where you're going to want to leave the sukkah, we recommend, not just recommend, we aser using these things as schach. We recommend you not do it, we aser doing it, that you're not allowed to use these items as schach. Fine. So, main point number one, Abaye disallows odorous and shedding schach, lest one abandon their sukkah.
Odorous.
O-D-O-R-O-U-S.
Odorous and what?
And shedding schach, lest one abandon their sukkah. Right. Smelly, if odorous is too hard a word. Abaye disallows smelly and shedding schach, lest one abandon their sukkah. Abandon as in leave, go out, you'd say. Hashem. Okay, good. Aix here. Let's start again. Okay. Amrav Gidal. Good. Fifth line. Amrav Gidal. Amrav Gidal Amrav. Hi Afkusa de Dikla Mesachkin Behu. The Afkusa of the Dekel, of the palm tree, you could use for Schach. What is Afkusa de Dikla? Rashi says, Motze a Dekel Kishu Samuch Lekarka Yotzumbo Dukranim Harbe Savisavim. That in the bottom part of the palm tree that's closer to the ground, it has things that like grow around the bark. So these types of things you're allowed to use as schach. So hayaf kusa didikla misachim, this part of the palm tree that surrounds the bark of the palm tree, you're allowed to use as schach. Afal gavda agidi, even though they're bound up together, they're tied up together, and it looks like a bundle. It looks like an eged. And then why are you allowed to be misachik with it if it looks like an eged? If it looks like an eged, shouldn't we say that it's possible because of gzeres otzer or whatever, all the things we discussed last week, if I'm not mistaken? Right. So shouldn't we say that it's no good? So says the Gemara explains, and this is an important concept, eged bidei shamayim lo shmei eged. Eged bidei shamayim lo shmei eged. What do you think that means? Good. If God made a bundle, doesn't count as a bundle. It counts as one unit that looks like a bundle, but it doesn't count as a bundle. If God made the bundle. If you made the bundle, then it would count as a bundle, not when God made the bundle. Afal gav da hadar agiluhu, even though it's only attached naturally at the bottom, and you're going to tie it on the top also, the hadar agiluhu, that's how Rashi explains, ha'nafim shalmala kedei lashkivan mipnei shemetspaslan lekanu lekan v'nok from the malav ein sosman anekev. Right, you're going to tie it up on the top where it spreads a little bit. That's no problem either, because iged b'chad lo shmei eged. Anything that's already one unit that you just put a tie around it, if it's only one stick, one unit, then that's not called an eged. So what's the definition of an eged? An eged is a composite of different units that a human being ties together. If it's something that God ties together, it's considered one big unit. Once it's one big unit, when you put a tie around it, that's not called an eged, because it's only one unit. Tying something around one unit is not an eged. Yeah. We're not talking about lulav. We're talking about schach. Yeah. And the tying is bad. If it's tied up, it's no good with the schach, right? Amar Rav Chista, Amar Ravina Barshila. Rav Chista said the name of Ravina Barshila. Hani dukri dukani misachim behu. So Rashi explains, what are dukri dukani? They're the same thing as the afkusa didikla, the thing at the bottom of the palm trees that we just described, except it's not in palm trees, it's by reeds instead of by palm trees. So the halacha is, you're allowed to use them as schach. The point is, what do they look like? Aval gavda agidininu. They look like they're bundled. Even though they look bundled, still you're allowed to use them as schach. Why? Same reason. Eged videi shamayim lo shmei eged. Something that's bundled by God, it's not bundled by a human being, is not considered to be bundled. Afal gav da hadar agilahu. Even though you may tie it together again, you may put another tie around, it's still no problem, because iged b'chad lo shmei eged. Because if you put a tie around one unit, that's not called an eged. So, main point number two, eged bidei shamayim, the eged b'chad lo shmei eged. That's the easiest to not translate. Eged bidei shamayim, the eged b'chad lo shmei eged, which means, if you want to translate it, a God-made binding, or a binding around a single unit, are not called a binding. Is lo shmei eged, is not called a binding. Now, and therefore what? So what's the halacha? So it's not called a binding, and therefore You can use it as schach. Tanya namiyachi. We have a brayse that supports this. Kanim v'dukranim misachin behem. You're allowed to use reeds and dukranim. Dukranim are the things we just said that look bundled, but they're God-made bundles. You're allowed to use them as schach. So ask the Gemara. Well, kanim pshita. Kanim, of course you're allowed to use for schach. Why wouldn't you be allowed to use kanim for schach? That's the definition of kosher schach. It's just reeds that grow from the ground to throw them in the sukkah. Of course you're allowed to use that. So Gemara says, no, what we meant to say is, ema kanim shel dukranim misachin ben. Point is, the what we really mean to say is the reeds that grow like the krunim, the reeds that grow in a way that they look bundled together, that you're allowed to use a schach. And that's the chiddush, that even though they look bundled, you're allowed to use them a schach. So that's the brisa that supports the din we just got through saying, how when something is eged bidei shemayim, it's not called an eged, it is kosher for schach. Period. V'amar of chisam ravina barshila. Hani mararisa da agma, Adam Yotze ben Yidei Chavasam Pesach. Once we're talking about strange minim of growths from the ground, so we also mention Mararisa da Agma. What's Mararisa da Agma? What does it sound like? Mararisa, right? Okay, Marar, very good. And we're talking about using it on Pesach. So what's Mararisa da Agma? Rashi says it means Chazeres Shel Agam. It's the lettuce that grows in like a marshy area, in like a swampy area. So Mararisa da Agma, the swampy lettuce, you're allowed to use for your chiyuv on Pesach. For what chiyuv on Pesach? For your chiyuv of marar. You could be yotze your chiyuv of marar with it on Pesach. Meisve, so ask the Gemara, ezov v'lo ezov yavan, v'lo ezov kuchli, v'lo ezov midbari, v'lo ezov romi, v'lo ezov sheishol shem livoy, that the halacha is when you require, when the Torah says the word ezov, that you need to have a bundle of ezov, of hyssop wood, a bundle agudas ezov, that you need ezov, when it says ezov, it means use the thing that's called ezov. Don't use the thing that's called the Greek Azov, nor the Kuchli Azov, nor the Midbari Azov. Use the thing that's just plain Azov. Once you attach another name to it, it's not the same anymore. It has to just be the plain, straight name. Once you're calling it something else, right, I'm trying to think of a good example. Something that has, once you attach another name to it, it makes it a whole different thing. I don't know why, I just thought of a bug and a ladybug, but I don't know. That's a terrible example. But you get the idea. When you add a descriptive name, what? A lady and a ladybug. Yes. Okay. That's a little too extreme, because over here we're at least in the same family. Okay, but you get the point. The point is that sometimes if you a tie and a bow tie. I don't know. These are all terrible examples. You guys are bad at this. What?
Car and a cartoon.
Well, what I'm looking for is when you have something that has a certain name, but if it's called by a more specific name, it's not really the same thing. It's a different min. What did you say? You said something before?
No. You'd rather not repeat.
You'd rather not repeat. Okay. So for instance, the Gemara's example is, when the Chumash tells you need to get Ezov, you have to use what we call Ezov. You can't use Ezov Yavan, Ezov Midbar, Ezov, just plain Ezov. That's what you're supposed to use. Just plain vanilla Ezov. Right? That's what you're supposed to use. So, what's the Gemara's point? What did we just say you're allowed to use for Marar on Pesach? What did we just say? Mararisa d'Agma. What do you mean? The Torah says I'm supposed to use Marar. How can I use Mararisa d'Agma? Isn't that a descriptive name that changes the whole thing, that makes it a totally different min? It has what we call, very important concept, Shem Livoy. What's Shem Livoy? What does that mean? A descriptive, an accompanying name. To be Malave means to accompany something. So Shem Livoy means an accompanying name, a name that accompanies it, right? So when you have a Shem Livoy, that's no good. That changes the whole thing. That's a totally different entity. So you could circle that phrase, Shem Livoy, that's an important phrase. So anyway, so question mark, the Gemara is asking, how can you say Mararisa d'Agma is good? It has a descriptive accompanying name. Amar Abaye, Kol Shenishtana Shemo Kodem Matan Torah. Anything whose name had changed before Matan Torah, Ubasa Torah Gvikpida Aleha, and the Torah came along and was makpid and said, no, don't use that, only use this, Biyadua Sheyesh Lo Shem Livoy. Then you know that has a Shem Livoy. That's unacceptable. V'hani lo nishtana shemayu kodem matan Torah klal. But these types of maror that we described, the nicknames just came in later on, after matan Torah. So when the Torah said use maror, it wasn't trying to tell me, but not marir da'agma. It wasn't trying to tell me not marisa da'agma, because there was no such thing as marisa da'agma at the time the Torah was given. If there were other options, let's say by Ezov and Ezov Yavan and Ezov Midbari, so before the Torah was given, all those options, all those items existed, all those names existed. And the Torah said, use Ezov. So that tells me, okay, the Torah doesn't want me to use these other things. Doesn't want me to use Ace of Yavan, doesn't want me to use all those other things. But when the names didn't exist prior to Matan Torah, and the Torah just said, for instance, use Marar, and then later on we started categorizing our Marar. We said, oh, we have iceberg lettuce, and we have romaine lettuce, and we started categorizing all the different types of Marar, all different types of lettuce. That was only post Matan Torah. So the Torah itself, when it told me to use Marar, was not being makbid on a specific kind versus another kind. The categorizations only came in later on. Am I being clear? I seem to get a lot of blank looks. There, not here.
Is that a question?
What?
Is that a question?
It's an answer. It's saying, right? It's saying why the Murrah case is different than the Azov case. No?
That was exactly the question from the Azov case.
Again, the question from the Azov case was that by Azov, you see, the fact that the Torah says Azov, we learn that it can't be Azov Yivani, Azov Midbari, it can't have any other nickname with it. By Murrah, we said Marisa Dagma, that's fine, even though it has a nickname. So the Gemara is saying, Abaye says, no, it's no problem. When those other specific names existed before Matan Torah, and the Torah specifically says, no, use the plain name, so it's telling me not to use those other names. But when those other names didn't exist before Matan Torah, so then, and those labels only came in later, so the Torah never told me not to use those. The Torah told me to use Marar. Later on, we decided to label some Marar iceberg Marar, some Marar romaine Marar, but that was only a later designation. Really, they're all okay. Yeah, I'm not saying that la halacha, by the way, that iceberg lettuce is okay. I'm just using that as an example. Yeah. No, of Azov. Yeah. It doesn't say Rome, it says Greek. Azov Yivani. Okay. Right. Yeah, but yeah, just, I guess. I don't know. I guess that's what the assumption is. Rava Amar, Rava says, Hani Mararisa Stama Shemayu. He says, no, you're getting it all wrong. He says, Marisa da Agma is really just plain old Marar. Marisa da'agma is just a helpful hint of where you can find it. That you can find it in the swamplands. You can find it by the swamps. But it's really just plain regular marar. It's just telling you when we use the term agma, marisa da'agma, it's not a different subspecies of marar. It is just the plain old regular marar. And it's telling you where you can go and find it. You can find it in the swamplands. So that's not a real shamely void. That's not a problem that it's called marisa da'agma. The marisa da'agma is just telling you where to find it. So main point number three. When specific types of Marar or Azov existed before Matan Torah, if specific types existed before Matan Torah, can you finish the sentence?
Torah specifies you can only use that one.
Good. Then the Torah insisted on Stam without a Shem Levoy. If specific types of Marar or Azov would have existed before Matan Torah, then the Torah is insisting on using the plain Azov Marar. Stam, plain Azov Marar, without a Shem Levoy. Without any accompanying descriptive name. That was our little turn into Marar for a few lines, but now we're going back to discussing Eged, to discussing bundles. Yes, Yonatan, Melman.
Which one is the one that does, well, that was before Matan Torah, the Azov or the
Marar? That had different names before Matan Torah was Azov. Good. But theoretically, if there would have been multiple kinds of Marar before Matan Torah, then when the Torah says Marar, it would be right. But the one that actually had was Azov. Amar Rav Chista, Iged Bechad Lo Shmei Eged. If you bundle one thing, if you tie something around one unit, that's not called an Eged, because it's just tying around a single stick. Shalosh shmei eged. Three, you tie three things together, that's already called a bundle. Three together is a bundle. Shnayim, what about two? Is two a bundle? So machlokas Rabbi Yossi Rabbanan. That's a machlokas. Between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. Where's that machlokas? Titan, we have a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Shabbos and Maseches Parah. And the Mishnah says as follows.
Mitzvahs Ezov, the mitzvah of Ezov. Why in Maseches Para is there a Mishnah about a mitzvah of Ezov? Right, that's the Ezov that they use to do the sprinkling with the Para Aduma. Right, so the mitzvah of Ezov is what? Paras Taras. So if you have the mitzvah of Ezov, Shlosha Kalachim, it's three stalks. Ubehen shlosha givolin, and on them are well klachim are like the three roots, three units, and each of them have three branches. Shlosha givolin. Rabbi Yossi Omer mitzvahs ezov shlosha givolin. The mitzvah of ezov is to have three branches. Vishirav shnayim. And if the leftovers, if let's say one of them fell out, it's still called the Ezov as long as two are left. But if two of them fell out and only one is left, that can't be called an Agudas Ezov anymore. V'gardumav kolshehu. Now let's say sometimes because you've dipped it so many times and you keep on sprinkling it and the leaves are very soft, it breaks down, not that pieces fall out, but the size of the stalks that you're using actually get smaller and shorter and shorter, right? So that's okay. Kolshu, even if it's just a very, very tiny, even if it's just very short, it's still good enough, as long as kolshu. It doesn't have to be very big. Gardumav means the when it's trimmed. The trimmings of it are kolshu. So we're talking about two totally different issues over here. The issue that we're focused on, obviously, is how many stalks still constitutes an agudas ezov, still constitutes a single unit. Right? We are not so concerned with the other issue the mission deals with, which is how short could it be cut to still be considered an aguda. So again, in terms of how many stalks is considered a unit, so the Mishnah had said it's supposed to be three, but Rabbi Yossi says if one fell out, it's still good enough. Started with three, one fell out, it's still good enough. So two is still good enough. In terms of how short it could be chopped down, even a kol shehu. Kasalka daitan. So we're assuming when we read that Mishnah, midashir of shnayim tkulasunami shnayim, that it doesn't make a difference if you have started with three and one fell out, or you just start with two. It's all the same. Right, if you have a bundle of two, that's called an agudas ezov. It doesn't matter that you started with three, didn't start with three. What you started with is totally irrelevant. The point is that apparently we're assuming that Rabbi Yossi holds two is called what? A bundle. Two is called an agudas ezov. Exactly. Why does it say shlosha? V'haydiktani shlosha. The mitzvah. When it says shlosha, it's just the mitzvah. It's telling me that l'chadchila, the best thing to do is to have three. But really, Rabbi Yossi holds absolutely, even if you start with two, it's fine. Umid Rabbi Yossi shlosha the mitzvah. From the fact that Rabbi Yossi holds shlosha, having three, is only a mitzvah l'chadchila, but it's not absolutely required. The Rabbanan shlosha la'akev. The Rabbanan holds having three is not just a l'chadchila, but that it's absolutely ma'akev, that it's absolutely necessary. So good, so what do we see over there? You have a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. What constitutes a bundle? The Rabbanan hold what? How many constitute a bundle? Three. And Rabbi Yossi holds how many constitute a bundle? Two. Right, that's the machlokas, Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. So says the Gemara, that's really great, except we have a problem. V'atanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer. We have a braisa where Rabbi Yossi says, Ezov tchilaso shnayim v'shirav echad. Puzzle, an Ezov that starts out as two and one fell out and it's left with one is puzzle. Ve'eno kasher ad sheyehei tchilaso shlosha vishir of shnayim. The only way it's going to be kasher is if it started with at least three and it remains with at least two. Why is this a question? Because what did we just say the shita of Rabbi Yossi was? Good, that even starting with two is fine. Now we have a braisa that says that Rabbi Yossi holds, no. If something fell out and you're left with two, that's fine. But when you start off, you got to start with three. You can't start with two. Yes? No, he's just saying that if it does fall off, it's going to still be called an aguda. It's still called aguda seizo. It's still called... Right. So that's what that's apparently what we're trying to show is that Rabbi Yossi thinks that there's a difference in the halacha between some starting off with a number and when you and being left with a number. Meaning, we thought originally, I don't care what it started as. What is it? And if it's two, and Rabbi Yossi holds that's good, it doesn't make a difference if you started with two or if it just happens to be two left. That's what we originally thought. But now we see that Rabbi Yossi says, no, it must start with three. How you start it makes a difference. If you just start with two, that itself is not an aguda. Okay, maybe. So says good. So says the Gemara, Epoch, Rabbi Yossi Shlosh La'akiv, Rabban Shlosh La'mitzvah. So maybe switch it around. Maybe Rabbi Yossi holds, you must have three, at least to begin with, you must have three, and he defines an Aguda Seizov as being at least three as absolutely necessary. And the Rabbanon who say three, they just mean the Chadchili should have three. The Rabbanon don't even require it, B'dievid, they think you'd be Yotzei if it were less than three as well. One second, let's just get through this. So says the Gemara Vatanya, but we have a brisa that says Ezov Tchilaso Shnayim V'Shirav Echad Kasher. We have a brisa that says that an Ezov that starts off as two and then you're left with one is Kasher. Ve'enu Pasul Ad She Tchilaso V'Shirav Echad. The only way it's going to be Pasul is if it was one the whole time. Shirav Echad Pasul Hamra Shirav Echad Kasher. But wait a second, that brisa right there, one line to another, contradicts each other. Because we said, if it starts with two and you're left with one, it's good. It's only puzzle if Shira Vechad, if you're left with one. What do you mean? We just said, if you start with two and you're left with one, it's kosher. How can you turn around the very next line and say, oh, if you're left with one, that's puzzle? The Bryce doesn't make any sense. Ella, so what does the Bryce mean? Ema achete tchiloso kishira Vechad. What it means is, it's only going to be puzzle if the number that you start with is the number that you're allowed to be left with. Meaning, we just said, what number are you allowed to be left with? One. Even if you're left with only one, then it's okay, as long as you start with two. When's it going to be possible? If you start with that number. What number? What number? One. If you start with one, that's going to be possible. But what do you see clearly from here? That there is an opinion that starting with two and ending with one is good enough. Period. No, you're sad to end that little sugya, but okay. So, main point number four. The machlokas, whether two is considered a bundle, is reflected in the machlokas about Agudas Ezov. Leave out all the details. The machlokas, whether two is considered a bundle, is reflected in the machlokas about Agudas Ezov. Is three a bundle? Is three a bundle? Yes, according to everybody. Is one a bundle? No, according to nobody. Is two a bundle? Machlokas. That machlokas is reflected in the different opinions regarding Agudas Ezov. Yonatan Melman.
The Bryce
above
says, Rabbi Yossi holds that if you do 3 minus 1, if you have 3, then you lose 1.
Yes.
Then that's good.
Right.
Right? And then the next line says that Rabbi Yossi holds that 3 is ma'akiv.
It means to start with 3 is ma'akiv. That's the chiddush of the Gemara. You see that there is a difference. That how you start it, if it starts as a bundle, doesn't. In general, it's much more difficult to create something new than it is to maintain a status quo. So to give a shame bundle, it needs to have a larger number. To keep a shame bundle that already exists, it doesn't need to have as large a number. Yeah. Vatanya Ezov Tchilaso Shnayim Mishira Vechad, right? No, that Vatanya is Benichlusa. I'm sorry, that's not a question. The question is afterwards. The question is that within that Brisa contradicts itself, right? Rashi says that's Benichlusa. Vatanya Rashi says Ubenichlusa. Benichlusa means that it's not a Vatanya, it's Vatanya. Yeah, there's a Brisa like this. Good. Okay. Second line, Daf Yud Gimel Beis. Second line, Daf Yud Gimel Beis. Darash Mareimar Darshin, Hani Isuraisa Desura Again, if you had to title this daf, what's this daf been about for the most part? Or even more broadly, what you can use for schach. What you can use for schach. So we spoke about using things that look like bundles for schach. We spoke about using smelly things for schach. We spoke about using shedding things for schach. So now we're talking... What? Odorous, yes. So now we're talking about hani isuraisa desura. These bundles of reeds that they would make to sell in the market, and they would sell them by number, they would sell them, let's say, by the dozen. In surah, mesachin behu. You're allowed to use the mesach, afagav the agdan, either bundles, they're bundled together, leminyana bi'almahu da agdan. They're only bundled to keep track of the numbers of them. They're not bundled for the sake of bundling them, it's just to keep track of the numbers. Meaning, it's like when you buy a dozen eggs. Right? When you buy a dozen eggs, you care when you buy it to know how much you're buying. That's why they sell them by the dozen instead of just buying a bag of eggs. But once it's in your house, you'll empty out the whole box and put it in those little egg holders in the fridge. I have one of those. I don't know if everyone else does. But you'll put in those little, no? Those little egg holders in the fridge, and it's no longer, you have them, thank God. Okay, so I'm not the only. So you no longer care about the fact that it's a dozen. You get home and you're right away. You could open up the box, throw it out, you don't care. You only care about it while you're buying it because you want to know that number. So these reeds, yes, they're bundled together, but the bundling isn't a real bundling because it's not meant to stay that way. It's only meant to stay that way until you sell it. Amar Rabbi Abba, hani tsrifi du'urbini. These tsrifi du'urbini. It's like a these round types of huts that are made out of branches of aravos. Kivan shahutra rashe ma'adanim shalahen ksherim. Once you untie the one end of them, the top knot on them, they become kosher for schach. I asked the Gemara v'ha'agidi mitasai, but they're still bound together at the bottom. Amar Rav Papa t'shari lahu. So you untie that as well, and then it's okay. Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua afilu temin lo sharilu. Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua says you don't even need to untie it because kol eged she'enoy also l'taltelo lo shmei eged. Because once you untie the top part, the fact that the bottom part is still connected is an eged she'enoy also l'taltelo, meaning an eged, it's a type of binding that's not made to be able to move it more easily. What that means is as follows. When you have a bundle of wood, let's say, it's tied together really well, it makes it much easier to move from place to place. Because all you got to do is pick up one piece and they all come with it. But if the tie is very weak, it's a very shvacha tie around it, so what's going to happen if you pick up one piece? They're all going to fall down. It's going to make it much harder to move, not going to make it easier to move. Right? It's not going to aid in transport. Any eged that doesn't aid in transport is not an eged. Very good. Good? So main point number one. An eged for the sake of keeping count, and an eged that does not help carrying are not called eged. Though the latter one is machlokes, right? The helping to carry one, that's machlokes. An eged for the sake of keeping count to sell is not called an eged. And an eged that does not help to carry, to transport something, the bundle, may not be called an eged either. That's a machlokes, right? Because one opinion said, no, you actually have to untie the bottom part also. The other opinion said, no, it's already not an eged because it doesn't help in transporting.
The first one's definitely an eged?
Yeah, the first one is definitely not an eged. If it's meant to help keep count. And the second one is a machlokes. That's for sure a question. I didn't say that. You said that. I'm not promising anything. You hear? Okay, good. I didn't say that. I don't know. I don't remember the questions. I wrote them in June. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Someone remind me tomorrow to show Rabbi Klappel to Luchina so that I can make sure the questions are fair.
No. He's going to make them harder.
No, he doesn't make them harder. He tells me when they're unfair. Okay. Yeah, he's pointed out in the past when they were unfair. Okay. Says the Gemara Vayter. We are now holding Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel. Yirakul Shomer Chamadim Yosef Ben Dei Chavasim Pesach. All those vegetables that the rabbis say that you can use for your mitzvah on Pesach. What mitzvah on Pesach? Maror, good. For the mitzvah of Maror on Pesach, all those vegetables, Mevi'in Es HaTumah, help to transport Tumah from one place to another. Ve'in Chotzitzin B'fnei HaTumah. And they do not stand as a barrier in front of Tumah. Meaning as follows. If you have a dead body, and let's say a person, a live person, underneath a single roof, what happens? The live person becomes Tameh. How does the live person become Tameh? He's not touching the dead body. Tumas Ohel. The roof is said to be Mevi Es HaTumah. It brings the Tumah. Because it links the two together, being under the same roof. Let's say that roof were made out of something that itself is Mekabel Tumah. Like, let's say we're made out of a, I don't know, just a flat sheet of metal or something that's Mekabel Tumah. Then it would not be able to be Mevi Es HaTumah, right? The Tumah would shoot straight through. If, let's say, there's a dead body in a house, and you manage to jump over the house, do you become Tameh? Yes, like the cow. Do you become Tameh? Oh, okay. Do you become Tameh? No, you do not become Tameh. Why? Because that same roof that helps to bring the Tumah inside of the house also helps to stop the Tumah from going above the house. Well, let's say that was a flat sheet of metal over a dead body, and it doesn't bring the Tumah inside of the house, then the Tumah shoots straight through. All the vegetables that the Chachamim say you can be Yotze Yechiv with on Pesach help to transport Tumah, and they do not stop the Tumah. They do not stop the Tumah from going through them. And not only that, those are the halachos we're not so interested in for our Masechta. Uposlin besukah mishum avir. If you try to use them as schach, it counts as having plain airspace on your sukkah. It doesn't even count the schach pasul. It counts as having airspace. What's the difference between schach pasul versus the airspace? How much schach pasul ruins your sukkah? 4 tfachim of schach pasul. How much airspace ruins your sukkah? 3 tfachim ruins your sukkah. So we count that as airspace, not as schach pasul. My time, why would we count it as airspace, not as schach pasul? Kivan delechi yavshi parchi v'nafli k'man delesnu dami. Since when it dries up, it will wither and fall, we view it as if it's not there. Since it's not going to be there, we view it as if it's already not there. It sounds a lot like, oh, Yitzchak Ginsburg, all right. Since very similar, it sounds like to Kedusha Mechashire. It's going to become to be burned, so we view it as if it's already chopped up into a million pieces. It's omeid to have X, Y, and Z happen. We view it as if it's already there. It's already happened. So these vegetables, they're going to wither, they're going to fall. So we view it as if they've already fallen. Main point number two. Things that will dry and wither can serve as an ohel for Tumah, but they cannot be chotzeitz b'fnei Tumah, nor be schach. Again, things that will dry and wither can serve as an ohel for Tumah, meaning, you know what ohel is, right? It can make the guy who's in the house with the dead body, who's under it with the dead body, tameh. But they cannot stop the Tumah, b'chotzeitz b'fnei Tumah. They can't stop the Tumah from going through. Nor can they be used as schach. Those are the three halachos the Gemara teaches us about things that will dry and wither. Whenever you have three, it makes for an easy multiple choice question. Which of the following is not one of the halachos we learn about dry and wither? Right, that'll prove that like all of them are not really halachos of dry and wither, because I misunderstood every single one. Okay. Va'amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, habotza legas ein lo yados. If a person is cutting grapes in order to use them for the wine press, meaning he's cutting wine grapes because he wants to crush them and make wine. Ein lo yados. It doesn't have a din of yados. Oh boy, this is a hard daf. Okay, ein lo yados means as follows. Yeah, yados is a concept. Yados of tuma. Yados. Yados means as follows. A grape is able to be mekabel tuma because it's a grape, right? Let's say I touch a grape. Does the vine that it's attached to become tame also? Or the cluster it's attached to become tame?
Yes.
So it depends. It depends. The concept of saying that that touching a grape is also going to be metame, the vine that's holding the cluster together, right? Oh, I'm assuming it's already cut off from the ground. That it's going to be metame that as well. Or touching the vine is going to be metame the grapes, is only if you want it to be attached to that vine. You're interested in that attachment, and it's yados, it's like a handle. Yad literally means a handle. The best way to buy grapes from the supermarket is not to pick one by one and have to, you know, put it together in a bag or whatever. It's much easier to just pick up the cluster. So that is yados. That is when it's considered to be a handle, that each of them are a handle for each other and for the vine, it's all one unit, and therefore when you touch one part of it, the whole thing becomes tameh. When you are taking wine grapes, do you want the vine in there? No, because when you crush the wine, it would taste horrible if you got crushed vines in there. You want just crushed grapes, right? So, ein lo yados. Does not have a din of yados. Rav Menashe bar Gada amar Rav Huna. Rav Menashe bar Gada says the name Rav Huna. Hakotzer l'schach ein lo yados. If you're cutting wheat for schach, also, there's no din of yados. Why? Why? What does it mean? There's no din of yados. The stalk part is not. If something tame touches the stalk, it's not going to make the kernel that's a food tame, because you don't want them to be attached to each other. Why do you not want them to be attached to each other when you plan on using it for schach? Which part don't you want there? The kernel, right? You have no use for the kernel in terms of schach. The kernel is not kosher schach. Mandi, Amar Kotzer, the one that says that Kotzer, that when you're cutting the wheat, that it doesn't have yados. Kolshkin, Botzer, Delo Nichalei, Delo Nimtzi Lechamrei. Then for sure, by the grape case, it's not going to be yados, because you don't want it to ruin your wine. Mandim, Diamar, Botzer, Shein Lo Yados. The one that says Botzer doesn't have yados, that when you cut the grapes, it doesn't have yados. Aval Kotzer yesh lo yados. Kotzer will have a din of yados. Dinichalei deliskach buhu kiechi delo levadran. Because it might be that you do want the kernel there. You know why you want the kernel there, maybe? It will weigh it down a little bit. Why do you want it to be weighed down a little bit? Because if you just have the stalk of the wheat, a slight breeze comes, you won't have a sukkah anymore. It will blow the schach right off. So you want a little bit of weight to it. So maybe if the guy who said that when it comes to the grapes, it's ain't no yados, might hold that by the wheat, it does have yados. That by the wheat, you do want them connected to each other. The one who holds you don't want them connected together by the wheat will say, well, then for sure you don't want what? The grapes connected to each other either. Says the Gemara. So, okay, main point number three. There's more of a reason for schach to have yados. Wheat used for schach to have yados than for wine grapes to have yados. There's more of a reason to assume wheat used for schach would have yados than for wine grapes to have yados. Or, put differently, less of a reason for wine grapes to have yados than for schach to have yados. Why? What was the svara?
And for wine grapes?
Wine grapes, I think. Wine, either one, but I said wine. But. Why? What's the svara? Why is there more of a reason for the schach to have yados? Because it's more likely that you want the kernels to be attached so that it will weigh down the schach. Says the Gemara, name of the Rav Menashe Bar Gada, Tanoihi. Maybe the statement of Rav Menashe Bar Gada is subject to Machlokas Tanoim. Where was Rav Menashe Bar Gada? What did he say? Anyone remember? Rav Menashe Bar Gada, who said that Kotzer ain't lo yados, that when you cut these stalks, that it doesn't have yados. Maybe that's subject to Machlokas Tanoim. Ditanya, because we have a brice that says as follows, Soche te'enim, ubehen te'enim, if you have branches of a fig tree, and on those branches there are actually figs. Parchilin ubehen anavim, you have vines of a, you have grapevines, and on those grapevines you have, you guessed it, grapes. Kashin ubehen shibalim, you have wheat stalks, and on them you have the wheat. Machbedos ubehen tamarim, you have the heavy branches of a date tree, of a palm tree, and guess what? On those branches you have dates. Kulan, in all those cases, im psolas murubal ochlin, if you have more branch than you have fruit, can you use it as chach? What are we going to say? If it's more branch than fruit, ksheira, you can use it as chach, vim lav. But if it's more fruit than branch, psula, it's possible. Acherim omrim, others say no. Achu kashin merubin ala yados ve'ala ochlin. You need more wood, more branch, than the fruit plus the parts near the fruit that are yados, that are the handles to the fruit. Because the parts near the fruit, if they're considered yados, are mekabel tuma. So you need more regular wood to outnumber not just the fruit, it's got to outnumber the fruit plus the yados. So what are they arguing about? My love, Balakavivki, isn't this what they're arguing about? Demar Savar Yeshla and Yados? Umar Savar Inla and Yados? Aren't they arguing whether we apply Yados to all these cases? Whether all these things have Yados of Tumah? Says the Gemara, the Rabbi Abba Vaday Tanayi. Rabbi Abba will tell you for sure it's Machlokas Tanayim, whether there's Yados for Schach. The Rabbi Minashe Bar Gada Milema Tanayi. But according to Rabbi Minashe Bar Gada, you don't have to say that it's Machlokas Tanayim. Omer l'char of Menashe, or Menashe might tell you, de kule alma savri, everyone would hold, hakotzer l'schach ein lo yados. Rav Menashe could tell you, all of the Tanaim would say, that when you cut wheat for schach, there's no yados, there are no handles, that are mekabel tuma. V'hacha b'may eskinan, but the case that the Tanaim were arguing about, was dealing with, shekotzer al na'achila, you cut the palm branch or the fig branch or the grapevine for the purpose of not schach, for the purpose of eating it, and then v'nimlach alei on the sikuch, and then you change your mind and you decided to use it as schach. That's why maybe yados doesn't apply there. When you first cut it, you planned on using it to eat. That's why it does have yados. Rather, when you cut it for schach, it would never have yados. But when you cut it to eat it, of course it's going to have yados, because then you certainly want the handles to make it easier to move around. So says Gemara, ikotzen l'achila maitamayad rabbanan. But if you're cutting it down to eat, then what would be the svara to say ain lo yados? Why would anyone say that it doesn't have yados? Just looking for a good stopping point. Yeah, we're not going to really have one, but let's just try to finish the dot. V'chi teima, unless you say kasavi rabbanan, the rabbanan hold kivan denimlach alein l'sikuch batalei machshavaso, that as soon as you changed your mind and decided you want to use it as schach, your original thought to pick it for the sake of eating is gone, has been nullified. Umi batalei machshava b'hachi, can a thought be nullified in that way by just changing your mind? Meaning, if you have a thought originally that makes something tame, like a thought that I want to use this that I'm cutting right now to eat it, and that makes not just the fruit tame, it makes the yados tame. Can you undo that with a thought alone? Vatnan, we have a Mishnah. Kala kelim yardin l'day tumah b'machshava. When it comes to a kli, a thought could be enough to make it in the category of tame, of tumah. But vein olin mitumasanela b'shinoi maisa. But the only way to get it out of Tumah, to get it out of that category, is by doing something, physically changing it. Because Maisa Motzi Mian, Maisa Mian Machshava. Doing an action can undo a previous action, or could undo a thought. Machshava, but a thought? Eina Motzia Lo Mian Maisa Lo Mian Machshava. Cannot undo a thought, nor can it undo a previous action. So bottom line is, therefore by us, when you originally picked it for the sake of food, what was that? That was a thought. And that thought, or it might have even been an action, but that's something that put it in the category of Tumah. Just changing your mind later and saying, I want to use it for schach, is not going to be enough to take it out of that category of Tumah. There's no good stopping point, so we're going to have to go over that again next week. But fourth main point, Rabbi Abba holds it's machlokes tanoim if schach has yados. Rabbi Menashe holds everybody agrees schach does not have yados. What? Again, Rabbi Abba holds it's a machlokes tanoim if schach has yados. Rabbi Menashe holds all tanoim agree schach does not have yados unless you initially picked it la'achila for the sake of eating. Unless you initially picked it la'achila. Good. Okay. Shkayach. Hatzlacha Rabbah on the quiz.